Thursday, April 23rd, 2015. This is the Sales Playbook Podcast. I am your host, Paul Castain, from YourSalesPlaybook.com, and this is the podcast for sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners who want to sell more. Now, this week, we're going to be talking about how you can utilize testimonials more effectively. Now, before we begin, as always, I want you to know that this episode of the Sales Playbook Podcast is brought to you by our upcoming online sales course that's going to be beginning on May 6th. It's called How to Hunt More Effectively. So if you don't mind, let's go ahead and pay the bills. Hey everyone, it's Paul Castain, and I'm here to tell you about a brand new online training program that we have that's going to be starting on May 6th. Now, the cool thing about this program is that we're going to be focused like 100% on showing you ways that you can bring in brand spanking new clients. So here's the plan. We're going to come right out of the gate. We're going to show you 10 places where you can hunt for business that I can tell you the average person neglects completely. From there, we're going to show you how you can send a better email right from the subject line, by the way, where I'm going to show you over a dozen subject line mistakes. I'm going to show you over a dozen better subject lines that you could be embracing. How about the actual message? Most of them are just kind of weak, right? It's kind of like a Me Too sales message. I'm going to show you how to send a better message as well as several techniques that are going to help you stand out. And in fact, you can really circle that part, help you stand out, because the entire gist of this program is going to be showing you over 100 tactics where you can indeed stand out. And I never use the word indeed. We're also going to be talking about how you can use things like snail mail, social networking, traditional networking, how to triple the amount of referrals that you're getting, how to make a better phone call, because it does all come down to a phone call sooner or later. So we're going to show you ways that we can warm up that cold call. And as well as in the final session, we're going to help you create a communication plan that gets all of these ideas that I've been sharing, all these different forms of outreach, marching together and truly complementing each other for a more effective plan. Now, as always, we deliver each session live right on your computer screen, so you can kind of join us from your favorite chair. Then, usually within about 24 to 48 hours, we send out the recording, slides and all. This way, you can go at your own pace, or if you like, you could attend live and have the reinforcement of the recording. I mean, how cool is that? So, for more information, and of course, to reserve your seat, because this is going to be coming up on May 6th, and you don't want to wait until the last minute, feel free to visit yoursalesplaybook.com/sellmore. Let me run that by you again. yoursalesplaybook.com/sellmore. Now, if you manage a team of sales reps and you'd like to get an idea of our special pricing and extras that we throw in when you enroll two or more, I want you to send me an email directly, as opposed to indirectly, to paul@yoursalesplaybook.com. One more time, paul@yoursalesplaybook.com. I'm hoping to see you all in class, folks. Looking forward to working with you. Okay, so our topic this week is how we can utilize testimonials more effectively. Now, the really cool thing about testimonials, in my not-so-humble opinion, ladies and gentlemen, is that it's a really powerful form of evidence needed to give people a gentle nudge off of that fence of indecision. And I will tell you something else. I don't wait until I sense that someone is hesitant in doing business with me to provide evidence in why I would be a better decision for them, or why even changing from not doing anything to maybe hiring a sales trainer or a sales coach is a really good move. I'm not going to wait for that moment. To me, momentum is really not on my side if I wait for that. So I want to offer it proactively, not in a way, by the way, like I'm afraid of something or I'm being defensive, but just kind of doing it in a way that shows that, wow, this dude Castain is an open book, man. He's got nothing to hide. But so this whole business of testimonials to me, it's a powerful form of evidence. It can serve as a gentle nudge to get people off of that fence of indecision. I also believe that it answers a really important question. And the question is, who says so besides you? Now, there's other forms of evidence out there that can help you with that, like studies and facts and, you know, like little statements like according to and things like that. That would answer or help answer the question, who says so besides you? But definitely testimonials are going to answer that. And by the way, you got to realize, I mean, I hope you realize, people are kind of asking themselves that question, even in a way that they don't even realize that they're asking themselves that question. Would you agree with that? In almost a really subconscious way. And many times it manifests in the form of just hesitation and just holding back and again, or just flat out indecision or going MIA and just not getting back to you. So this whole business of testimonials is going to be really, really helpful to you, for you. So I have several ideas for you. Going to be a briefer podcast today. I almost hate to say that because every damn time I say that, I end up by going into like a 40 freaking minute podcast. So let's see if I can be true to my word. So the very first thing, I want you to get better at asking. And you could really ask at any point in time. But to me, there's a moment in time where I really believe your client is almost beating you over the head with a sign that says, ask me for a testimonial. After you've wowed somebody, after you have just completely exceeded expectations, and especially, pardon my French here, well, actually, I don't need to apologize to you guys. I mean, like, this would be the first time I ever, like, used a little bit of language that might be offensive, but seriously, after you save somebody's ass, I mean, you absolutely should be. I mean, you're missing a major opportunity. Now, let's just take a look at how this plays out sometimes. I want you to think about this. If this happens to you, because if it's not happening to you, I think we have, like, a bigger issue that we need to tackle. But don't you have situations where you're hanging out with a client and they say, oh my gosh, man, I mean, you just really saved me. Or like they're pointing out that you guys came through with like an 11th hour miracle. Or maybe they're just, it's that moment. Sometimes it's when you first start doing business. Hopefully it's as you continue, people say, oh my gosh, this came out better than I, you know, I thought it ever could. You guys really kicked ass for me. In that moment, you almost, and you have to adjust this to your style. I mean, you guys hopefully by now know that I'm a little bit kind of a different type of dude. So I don't know that my way is going to be the perfect way for you, but you can certainly get the gist. When somebody says any of that to me, that, hey, you know, you really came through, Castain, or you saved my ass, whatever it is, and or my hiney, whatever language that they might use. Most of my clients say ass, by the way. It's just, we're kind of bonded together by that profanity. But what I do in that moment is I get dramatic. Now, if I'm hanging out with them and I am face-to-face with them, most of the time for me, I have international clients. I'm on the phone, on a Skype, even on a WebEx or whatever it is. We'll get to that in a minute. But if I'm face-to-face, I'm going to, usually most people have their smartphone surgically attached to their hand. Notice that? Like it just doesn't go away. It's surgically attached. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to look and see if I see it in their hand or if I see it right by. I'm going to go grab your smartphone. That's my first response. I'm going to go grab your smartphone. Right now, I want you to email me exactly what you just said. You don't even have to give me the full, but you could give me a 2-3 sentence version of that, because, right, and I call them by name. Usually it's nice if you call people by the correct name, right? Like, you know what I mean? Like a guy named Bob, don't call him Dick or something like that. I mean, that's not a good thing. Oh, and by the way, just as a side note, true story, I'm sorry, I just have to go on a rant, and that's why we're going to probably go into 40 minutes today. You know that damn spell correct, no, actually it isn't spell correct, fat thumbs, fat fingers is what did it. There's this dude that I really am not connected with anymore, and you can understand why. Guy was always retweeting my stuff or whatever it is, and one day I was in like a really big hurry. The guy's name is Butch, and you know, I don't know who the genius was who thought up this, was it QWERTY keyboard or whatever the hell it is, but I referred to Butch as bitch, and I said thanks, bitch, and I think that is one of the most degrading things that you could ever call a guy is a bitch. And I told you, the only thing that comes close to that is like slapping a man, I think, is the only thing that comes close to that. But anyway, sorry, I just had to. But anywho, what I'll do is I'll say right then, if people are right in front of me, please grab your smartphone, email it to me. Now, I'm going to do the same thing, basically. If we're on a phone call, I'm going to go grab your smartphone right now. If they say, I'm on my smartphone, I'm going to say, you in front of your keyboard? Do me a favor, right now, I will wait. Email that to me. Now, whether I am in front of them or we're on a call or whatever it is, I am saying that I will wait because I'm going to tell you, and you guys know that I am spot on with this. I'm going to get really arrogant about this point. And I try not to do that. But today, damn it, I'm going to do it. You know I'm right on this. You know that if you don't almost insist in a really nice way, you're never getting the damn testimonial. It's like the law of diminishing returns or whatever it is. I mean, you think about it. They're loving you right then and there. And then if they don't do it right then and there, all this other stuff is going to come up. I mean, seriously, I have at least two people right now, and I'm kind of hesitating because I don't want them to feel bad because they're customers. And my customers listen to my podcast, so I can't have them feeling bad. But it is what it is also. I mean, I had two people that recently told me, I just want to let you, because like the first quarter just finished up, right? And people were telling me recently, I just want to let you know that we are 133% of quota because of the training you've been doing with our team. And right away, I'm like, you've got to email me that, please. And I didn't say to them, I'll do it right now. I'll wait or whatever it is. One of them came in through an email, so I really couldn't do that. It's just kind of awkward to do that, right? Kind of weird. Make the conversation get weird. And this was 6 weeks ago, and I'm still waiting for the damn thing. So I can only push it so much without pissing off a client. And next thing you know, I'm trashing a client now, getting like they're trashing me because I just got a little bit too aggressive asking them to write out how they love me. So really, in that moment, you really have to do it. So please remember to do that. So whenever you wowed someone, whenever you save somebody's rear end and they've acknowledged that, you want to do that. Now, the other thing, as far as asking, don't forget, there's actually a few other things. Don't forget, you don't have to wait until you've wowed somebody and they told you that, or you saved somebody's fanny. You don't have to wait for that. I'm just saying that those are like, to me, the lowest hanging of low-hanging fruit in that moment. You gotta just like seize that opportunity. The other thing that you can do, kind of a more of an indirect, subtle approach, you know, before I tell you what it is, I just want to tell you one of the things I've been telling my one-on-one coaching clients a lot lately. One of the things I've been hearing and experiencing a lot lately is, and this will come as no shock to you, that the attention span of the human race is such now that I feel like we almost have to beat people over the head with things. And I know there's a nicer way to say it, so please forgive me if I'm not winning the award for being eloquent today, right? Like, not that I ever would, but maybe today I would have and I just screwed it up. But, I mean, you really have to beat people over the head with a message. And I will tell you, I'll just give you a brief example. Forgive me if I'm beating you guys over the head with this by now. You guys see that when I have a course coming up, that I will start, usually it could be anywhere from about 6 weeks to 8 weeks prior to an online course coming up. I mention it on this podcast. I mention it on my blog. I'm mentioning it on Twitter. Every chance that I can, I am mentioning it. I'm sending out blasts that just talk about that to sign up. Everything. And wouldn't you know it, that after 6 to 8 weeks of doing that, honest to God, I will get snotgrams from people. I mean, like, they are pissed off at me. Like, how dare I? Like, I came into their house broken and, like, drank their beer and, like, you know, used their bathroom and, you know, like, and, like, didn't flush or something. I mean, they're just, like, really, like, pissed off at me. For like, they're like, I can't believe that, you know, you know, you're pulling the plug on the program. I'm like, well, geez, dude. I mean, I've been promoting it for 8 weeks. And I just realized I'm yelling at you guys. Like, why? That wasn't necessary. But anyway, but seriously, I'm like, I've been promoting it for 8 weeks. Like, should I have gone another 8 weeks? I mean, so I'm finding it's not their fault. I don't fault them for it. It's just, and it's not your fault. It's just you guys get busy. You don't have Castain on the brain 24/7. So do you really think people have given you a testimonial on the brain 24/7? See, I'm calming down now as I say that. I was getting really angry. I think I might have to go for therapy because I'm realizing that maybe we had a breakthrough today. Maybe Castain is understanding something about himself that I get mad at you guys when you get mad at me. Wow. I think that this is a good place for us to end the podcast today. And, you know, I mean, this is awesome, man. It's like now I'm complete. But anyway, but seriously, we have to get better at asking. So the other thing that you can do and kind of beat people over the head with it is in your emails that you send out, one of the tips that I give quite often is there is underutilized free advertising space in your auto signature. So where you have your auto signature, some of you guys have these little cutesy, little motivational quotes, and of course you have your little social networking icons and so on and so forth. Well, just go back into it, put a little space, and put a PS. And in the PS, you can word this any way you want, but you could almost ask a question. Loving the service that we've been providing, you know, or, you know, how am I doing? If I'm doing great, please reply to this email and give me a quick testimonial. Something like that. I mean, again, you guys word it any which way you want, but I'll tell you what I would recommend. That is the type of PS that you should put in. You don't want to keep a PS in there, the same PS, like the whole year. Like, again, going back to those cute motivational quotes, there are people out there, and I'm sure you know who I'm talking about. God forbid, maybe you might be one of them, that they've had the same tired motivational quote for 6 years in there. So the eye is not going to continue to look at that, just so you know. You've basically trained everybody's eyes, or like I said eye before, so that all the one-eyed people are going to have difficulty reading it anyway, but the people with two eyes are also going to have difficulty because they're just not going to look for it anymore. There's no reason to. So my suggestion is 4 times a year, so once a quarter, if my math is working out correctly here, 4 times a year, for a 2-week period of time, have a PS that is basically asking for testimonials. Many of you love to send out newsletters, mostly in electronic form, right? Like a email type of newsletter. For those of you who are doing that, maybe you could put that message in there. Hey, hard copy newsletters too. I mean, my buddy Pete, I just want to be aware of using last names. That's why I hesitated. My buddy Pete, he has a really cool newsletter that he sends out every month to his prospects and his clients. And in there, he asks for the testimonials. So there's a lot of things that I could say about this, but I really want to get into how you can use testimonials. So the only other thing that I'm just going to say about testimonials, right, is that old saying, if you don't ask, you don't get. So what testimonials, in a way, to me, are very similar to referrals in that most people get really bashful and ballless when it comes to asking for a testimonial. And yet, you guys will pick up the phone and call complete strangers cold to do business with them. And I just don't get that. I don't understand why you guys have the courage to pick up the phone and call strangers, which I know that New York doesn't have the monopoly on being a-holes out here. I mean, there's some brutal people out here, but I'm sure you're dealing with them in your neck of the woods too. So I don't understand how you would have all this courage to call people that can reject you in a rather brutal fashion, but the people who love you, you're not asking them to put that in writing. So to me, that's something that you need to really think about. I think that's really, really important. So, and I'll think about why I get mad every time I think about you guys getting mad. So you see, we all have, this is going to be like family counseling this week. The next thing, this is important now. How can you use testimonials / package them? So how can you use testimonials and package them? So let me tell you about a place where I use them that many of you might not be using them. First of all, you might be waiting until somebody asks you for that, right? We covered that before. I offer them proactively. Any proposal that I'm generating, I don't care what the proposal is for, it is part of my proposal. Now, here's what I do. I either put it on my bio page. We're going to talk about that in a minute too, because you might be saying, bio page, huh? What the, right? either on the bio page or immediately after the bio page. Let's kind of go there for a second, even though that's not the topic today. I hope that you are including a bio page in your proposals. Now, you might be thinking, well, I include a little like about us thing or background or history or whatever. Hey, that's cool. But haven't we heard the expression that people generally buy us first? So if you agree with that sentiment, you have to sell yourself. And I think, you know, it's very interesting when we look at your widget versus somebody else's widget and your service versus somebody else's. So we can go on and on about warranties and guarantees and insurance and training and value added and all these other cool little cute phrases. But the bottom line is that you remain the sustainable difference. All the other things eventually could be duplicated. Now, you might be saying, well, not now. Well, doesn't mean that it can't change tomorrow, right? Things happen. All the business moves at the speed of light. But you can't duplicate you unless you now are doing cloning technology, which we should talk because I'd like to clone me. You guys wouldn't like it, but I would dig it. Because right now I could be doing this and I could be in the backyard having a smoke. So that would be kind of cool. Smoking a cigar, that is. See, you never want to say having a smoke when you were this close to 420 day. So anyway, even though we're after it, I just need to clarify that. So so I think it's important that you guys put a bio in there because I think it's important, especially if you have the experience, man. They need to see your expertise. They need to feel like they get to know you. In that bio, put your picture in that damn thing. Face with the name, baby. It's a good thing to do. And I would do that, but what you can do now is you can place some of, and I've done this both ways, by the way. I have kind of a new way that I'm doing this, but one way you can package your testimonials is place them on the bio page. Just like pop a couple of those bad boys, bad girls, right on that page. Now, the other thing that you can do, and this is my new thing. This is like hot off the press technology that I'm offering to you. In terms of packaging, I am now putting them on a page that has a very deliberate title. And what is this title, you may ask? The title of this page, in my proposals, it's what real people are saying about Paul Castain. What real people are saying about Paul Castain. Now, before I kind of leave you hanging for like, I don't know, a minute or two, do you have any idea why I would say, I mean, I'm really giving you a blatant hint here, why I would go out of my way to have a page that says what real people would say about Paul Castain? Ponder that for a minute, and I want to tell you something else. You know, when I put testimonials, and there's certain places where I put testimonials, it's not just in a proposal, but when I put them, I use the actual full names of the person giving the testimonial. None of this Todd from New York. I mean, I don't know. You've narrowed it down to what, 6 million people? Todd from New York? I mean, come on, right? I mean, I don't know. Well, actually, you know, Todd is a bad example. How about like Joey from New York? Holy crap, there's probably 12 million Italian Joeys in New York. I mean, come on. I mean, like, what the hell is that? It just reeks of something that's not overly authentic. Or maybe like Jake from State Farm. It's like, oh, come on, man. Now, like, what the hell is that? So, like, I put the actual name. Now, some of you, you don't want to put an actual name. I don't understand that. I mean, especially when we talk about putting it in other places and not just in a proposal. Some of you are afraid that your competitors are going to get a hold of it or whatever. I don't know. I think it might encourage you to work harder and make sure you're doing right by your clients. I have my actual testimonials, like the names of the actual people and the company, and in a heartbeat, you guys could look it up. And quite frankly, if you're one of my competitors, you could attempt to have a field day. I'm pretty confident that you're going to leave those conversations with my clients with a whole lot of nothing. I kick ass for them. And you know what? If I ever get to the point where they feel they're going to do better with my competitors, God bless them, man. They can have them. It's probably not going to be a good fit at that point. So to me, I get far more good than I would ever get bad. So the other thing, too, is that, like I said, there's a lot of BS testimonials that are out there. And I've seen all kinds of practices to me that are just – they're just sketchy. Like, for example, there's without saying names, there's some other sales trainers out there. I noticed that they have given testimonials to each other on their website. And I'm thinking, really, this guy bought sales training from you? And or is this your buddy? And there's something about that to me that just reeks of BS. And you don't want to do that. And just putting a simple, like, you know, Sarah P. on that. I mean, okay. I mean, how many Sarah P's are there in the world? So anyway, I've beaten that one to death. But I would seriously put the full name. But anyway, let's get back to this question that I asked you. What real people are saying about, like, why would I do that? Because there's a really powerful technique that I teach my clients when it comes to rapport building. And it's very simply that if you articulate something that people are feeling, even at a subconscious level, and they get to that point where they're almost like, oh my gosh, I'm glad you said that. I feel that way. Let's just think about, like, away from sales. You've had that happen, right? Where you find yourself connecting and bonding with somebody because they said something that you've always felt to be true, or maybe that you realize, oh my gosh, that's spot on. It just adds just like a certain sense of credibility, and it draws you to them. So that's one of the reasons why I do it, and it just really calls out the fact that there's a lot of BS testimonials that are out there. So let's talk about a few other rapid-fire uses for this. I'm a big advocate of riddling your website. Let me say it again. I didn't say riddling. I said riddling your website with testimonials. I have them all over my website. And we're going to be actually upgrading the Sales Playbook website. We're going to be launching the new website probably right before the summertime, maybe a little bit sooner. And you're going to see even more testimonials. So I think it's very, very important that you have them there. The other thing that you can do with testimonials is that you can use a quote or an excerpt. You could use the whole thing if it's a brief one. You could actually use that in a prospecting email. Almost like, you know, here's what one of our clients had to say. Here's what one of my clients had to say. I mean, think about that. I mean, we could say it probably a little nicer than I just did, but that's the sentiment that we're saying, that we're not just giving you things that my company, this $2 billion company in software, or whatever. Hey, wouldn't that be cool if I owned a $2 billion? I'm going to tell you guys something. If I ever own a $2 billion a year software company, I'm going to keep working. I'm probably going to be pretty wealthy, but I am going to have such a low tolerance for BS. But anyway, I'm just putting that out there. Again, we're digressing today. But you can put a little quote in your sales emails. The other thing that you can do, and this is kind of a twofer, if you guys know me by now, a twofer is any time that we get more than at least two benefits from one action. So I want you to think right now that you might have on your LinkedIn profile some testimonials, I guess, or whatever, endorsements, whatever the heck you want to call it. You can cut and paste those, and you could put those on your website in your proposal. As a matter of fact, I have a company that's considering me right now. Happens to be a company in the printing industry. And I remembered that I had a certain type of testimonial that would mean something to them. And it happened to be my LinkedIn profile, so I just did a cut and paste through it right into the proposal. So that's something that you can do. But anyway, folks, I mean, you know, you can repurpose it or whatever. So, you know, it's funny because I think that we have these sales meetings where we work. And most sales meetings, to me, completely suck. They are, in some cases, beat-up sessions. Sometimes they are BS sessions. Sometimes people just carry on a little too long, and there you are saying, I am missing time away from the field for this. I mean, come on. Sometimes there's meetings that, to me, they could have been an email, too much administrative stuff. To me, this kind of stuff is stuff we should be talking about in sales meetings. Like, how can we get more testimonials? Sharing testimonials with the team, because if you're on a sales team and you're getting these testimonials, everyone can benefit from it. But I think the way that many people have gone about testimonials is more on a global level. And what I mean by that is, like, you know, testimonials that have been written about your company, the ABC company, as opposed to Todd at the ABC company or Paul Castain at Castain Training Systems or whatever. So I think it just adds something to it, because we forget that people are buying us. And I think it's very, very important that while you're selling your widgets and your solutions and all the bells and whistles and outcomes and emotions and all the stuff that I can go on and on about, just make sure that you're selling yourself. And evidence, like testimonials, answers that question. Who says so? Besides yourself. So there you have it, folks. Several ideas how you can use these testimonials more effectively. I'm Paul Castain from YourSalesPlaybook.com, and we create courses and offer one-on-one training to help you sell more. Now, to learn how, visit yourselfplaybook.com/hire_Paul, or if you'd like a really, like, way cool PDF that I like to call 10 Ways That I Rock With My Clients, I want you to email me, Paul@yourselfplaybook.com. I don't know why I'm whispering. Paul, this is a secret. Paul@yourselfplaybook.com. I will talk to you all next week. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production. Visit us at www.yourselfplaybook.com. There's the secret again. Take care, folks.